Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. All right. Well, on discipleship training tonight, one of the things I shared, we've been going through for several weeks now, months, talking about God's plan and God's purpose for Panther Creek Baptist Church, and really looking at everything involved in that. We've had some great discussion, but one of the things I shared with them tonight was that it really is time for us to move on from this. It's time for us to stop talking, really, and start doing some of the things that we've talked about. And so next week, during discipleship training, we will be starting a new lesson and looking at that. I don't know what our discipleship training will be like next Sunday night. But I realized this past week, too, that it is time to end up Revelation. I had a great time last week. I got really excited last week. If you were here, I got kind of fired up. We're talking about heaven, and I think somebody even made the comment, boy, he was really fired up talking about heaven. Well, the pastor's going to get fired up when talking about heaven, that's for sure. And so I really enjoyed it last week. But I just realized that it's time. We've spent months talking about Revelation, had a really good time with it. But I kind of remember that story. Do you remember that ceremony at Yale that they talked about years ago where the speaker came in to give the commencement address, and he took the letters of Yale and he used that in his address, and he spent about 25 minutes on each of those letters talking about different things. For example, Y stood for youth, A stood for attitude, L stood for leadership, E stood for enthusiasm. And so again, he's spending about 25 minutes on each of these letters. And finally, by the time he gets down to the E and he's wrapping that up, one of the graduates who's sitting out in the crowd turns to another one. He says, "Aren't you glad we didn't graduate from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology?" Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And so I kind of feel like that with the Revelation. You know, it's are we glad it's not more than 22 chapters? If it was like Psalms, boy, but it's probably time to wind this up and to look at this. And I want us to look at, again, a review. Revelation started out with John, his vision of Jesus Christ and in heaven, and he saw Jesus Christ, and he was in his glorified body, and so that was the vision John had as Revelation began. And then we went into Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and that was the letters to the seven churches, and we talked about this is the church age, this is the age we're in now, we're in the present. Each of those letters were speaking to the churches of all history, including today. We could look at characteristics of each of those churches that still exist in churches today. So Revelations 2 and 3 are talking about the present. And then something happens in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And the reason why we look at that period, because it talks about the sound of a trumpet. That's what John said he heard. And we can point to that, even though the Bible doesn't use the word specifically. It never uses the word rapture ever in the Bible. But we've called it the rapture because really that's what takes place at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. It is the calling out of the church. It is the end of the church age. People, the church, I'm talking about the church, people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, they are called home. And one of the reasons why, another reason why we can point to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is that time when that happens is because we never see the church. We never see the faithful. We never see the body of Christ on earth anymore after that moment. Every time you see the church, they are always in heaven after that time. So we realize that, okay, that indicates that something took place to call all of us home. And we believe that to be the rapture. And so we see from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through up until Revelation chapter 17, we see that there's going to be a period of time, 7 years of the tribulation. We talked about it in Sunday school class today. that the Antichrist will arrive on the scene. He'll be very charismatic, very dynamic. He'll have the ability to pull nations together at a very chaotic time. This is going to be one of his appeals, that, you know, people will be really scrambling and wanting to know where we go from here. Well, the Antichrist will arrive on the scene, and he'll be able to do just that. He'll be able to pull the world together. And as he's building the world into this one world order, he will create a new political order, a new economic order, a new religious order. And as by the time we get to that second 3.5 years, we'll see things beginning to fall apart. And, of course, we see at the very end of that tribulation, the political system fails, the religious system fails, the economic system fails. Everything just kind of collapses on itself. And when that happens, that indicates the end of the 7-year tribulation period. And at the end of that, there'll be this huge war, armies coming from the west, going into the Battle of Armageddon. And at the Battle of Armageddon, it's not going to be very long. Jesus is going to come back. We're all going to come back with him. And that's going to usher in a period of time called the millennial time, the 1,000-year reign. The Bible predicts that one day every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That one day every ruler will bow at the feet of Jesus. Well, we've never seen that in history. And we won't see that until that 1,000-year reign. That will be the time that Jesus Christ will rule on earth in Jerusalem, and we will all bow and worship him here on earth. At the end of that, of course, there's going to be peace there because Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, will all be cast in to the abyss during that time. They get out, a small skirmish or uprising begins, and Jesus quells that forever. And then that's when a new earth and a new heaven are ushered in. I know that is what we've covered over the past months of being together and looking at the book of Revelation. But there's 8 things that I want us to see as we close out Revelation chapter 22. And remember, I promised you, it took me a couple of weeks to work on this. We're gonna print this out and make it look really nice. But I promised you that we will have a book of everything that we've talked about since the beginning. So every chapter that we've gone through, that it'll be in a nice little book. I promised Merle I'm going to have a signing party in the back. I will sign copies. I probably won't do that. But at least we'll have a book that you can refer to about all the things that we've talked about. But there's 8 things remaining that we need to look at as we look at Revelation chapter 22. And the first thing that I want us to look at is the last command. These are the last words of Jesus, the last words that he spoke. Let's begin with verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. When I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had shown them to me. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you, your brothers, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" Worship God. That's the last thing, the last command that I want us to see that exists in the Bible. And it really is a command that summarizes all commandments, I think. And the commandment is worship God. Worship God. We're not here to worship a church. We're not here to worship people. Certainly not here to worship a pastor. We are here to worship God. The word worship means worthy of worship. That's what worship means. And I got to tell you, as I was thinking about this, certainly in light of what we talked about here this morning, I thought to myself, when God is the focus of our worship, when God is who we worship, I think everything else comes together, don't you? When we worship the Lord as a church, when we worship the Lord as people, we don't have to worry about whether we're loving others. When God is the focus of our worship, and the last commandment that we see here tonight as we look at the book of Revelation is that we need to worship God. Not only is there a last commandment, I wrote all this down instead of typing this up here tonight, guys, but there is a last principle. In the Old Testament, we see commandments. We see commands that we're going to get, that, you know, God gives commands. We see the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with commands, but in the New Testament, what we see is more principle. And what is the difference between a commandment and a principle? Because in the New Testament, God gives us principles. And what a principle is, it's a spiritual truth that's lying just beneath the surface. It's not so much of a command, but it's a principle. So that's what we see in the New Testament. So like, let me give you an example. I don't know if anybody had an opportunity today. I think Pat Ball said that she got her Bible out and she's getting ready to study it tonight. But I asked this morning, I said, okay, this afternoon, go home and read Romans chapter 13. I think what you're going to find is those two verses are in the context of paying our debts. You know, that's what it's talked about. It talks about paying our debts. But then verses 9 and 10 talk about love. So what's the link here? Well, the link is we owe a debt of love to people. And so when we see people, we need to be reminded, hey, we're to love them. That is an example of a principle. That is a spiritual truth lying just beneath the surface. It's not a command that God gave us, but it's a principle there. In the Old Testament, we see commandments. We see the last commandment of Jesus. But also, we see the last principle here in Revelation chapter 22. And the principle is this. Verse 11 says, "Let the filthy still be filthy. Let the righteous go on in righteousness. Let the holy still be holy." You know what the principle is in that verse 11? It's this. People don't change after they die. People don't change after they die. There may be a misconception of people out there that says, you know what, I'm going to live like the devil here on earth, but when I die, things are going to be different. I'm going to have a different life. Well, that's true, but it's not true in the way that you may think. Or there may be people who think, you know, I can live like I want here, but somebody's going to be praying for me after I die, and that's going to fix everything, and that's going to bring everything together. But the principle, the last principle that we see here in verse 11 is this. People don't change after they die. So the character we have here is going to be the character we're going to have for eternity. Who we are here is going to be the, you know, if we're righteous, we're going to be righteous. If we're holy, we're going to be holy. If we're filthy, we're going to be filthy. People don't change after they die. That is a misconception. That is the last principle that Jesus is giving. And I know I need to move on here, but that's the last principle that we have here. The other thing that we see is the last identification. The last identification, and there are three things here that Jesus identifies himself with. First of all, he says this. In verse 13, he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And I want to drop down to verse 16 because he says this, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to attest these things to you for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star." All through the New Testament, we see Jesus referring to himself as "I am." A good Bible study, if you have a concordance, or you can even look in the back, or even look this up online, but a good Bible study is sometime, take a look at all the times that Jesus said, "I am." I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the Lamb of God. I am God. I am the bread of life. I am the water for the living water. All the times that Jesus said I am. And there's three last times that Jesus says I am. First of all, he says here, "I am the Alpha and Omega." Alpha was the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega was the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And so what Jesus is saying here is, "I am the first and last and anything in between." I don't know if you still have one of these, but for some reason, I've kept my dad's, at least it gets, I don't know if this happens to you, Joel, but somehow I've convinced myself that everything I have in my house is worth something. You know, I do. And so I keep everything. Like yesterday, Lisa had to fight me because I just knew that there was something in that yard sale that was going to be worth something. You know? And there probably was. I said, "Lisa, I got to take this home. I got to get this because it's going to be worth something." And I'm always trying to convince her. And so I've kept my dad's encyclopedia set that he had when he was a boy. You know, why did I do that? Because it's not worth anything. But I've kept that. But you look at that encyclopedia set, and it has all the letters of our alphabet. Millions of probably of words in that encyclopedia set from beginning to end, A to Z. Every word that you can imagine, A to Z, and we don't keep encyclopedia sets anymore. But from first to last, that is there. And this is what Jesus is saying. I am the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. I am everything in between. If we ever wondered if Jesus were enough, he's enough. He is enough for anything that we need. And he's making that last identification. He also says, I am the root and descendant of David. And that's something. That'd be kind of like saying, you know what? I'm the ancestor of my father, and I'm also the descendant of my father. But Jesus, again, is identifying himself with who he is. I am God. And I'm the descendant as well here. I'm the fulfillment of prophecy and everything that we see. And then the last thing that he says here, he says, I am the bright morning star. I know you do this. Sometimes you go outside before the sun comes up on the horizon, and you look in the sky, and there's usually only one. Try this tomorrow morning. Kalita, it takes about 4:30, 5 o'clock. Get up at 4:30. Get up at 4:30 and go outside because generally you will see only one star. It's not even a star, is it, Sheila? It's the Venus. So I think it's Venus. But there's only one thing that's still in the sky before the sun comes up, and that's what's referred to as the bright morning star. And you know how I take that? Jesus is making this identification. After everything else is gone, and the only thing that's left in the sky is that one star. That is who Jesus is to us. After everything else is over, Jesus is still there. You know, and so he makes one last identification three times here. And then he says this. He gives us the last blessing. In the book of Revelation, there are two blessings. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, there's the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn, and for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those, and over and over and over again. Well, the last two times that we see that are in the book of Revelation. One is in verse 7. Verse 7, he says, look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Blessed is the one who keeps the words. That means blessed is the one who obeys. You know, I got to ask a question. We've been doing this study for months. I think, did we start this? When did we start this? I think we started this in March. Okay, thank you, Sheila. So we started this in March. Is there anybody that has been here for every night of the Revelations? I think I've been here for most of them. I'm not sure I've been here for all of them, but somehow I checked out a couple of times. But is there anybody? Doug. Doug has been here for everyone. Anybody else been here for every one of these interesting things that we've done in Revelation? Well, here's what I've come to find. The last blessing that we see, one of the last blessings that we see that Jesus says is, blessed are those who keep these words. This is the only place other than the book of Matthew, where God says, in this book, if you keep these words, if you obey these words, you will be blessed. And then he says in verse 14, not only will you be blessed for that, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. Blessed are those who wash their robes. I got to ask another question. For the Bible that you're reading and following along in tonight, how many of you in your Bible, those words say this, blessed are those who keep these commandments. Blessed are those who keep these commandments. Okay, there's a few of you here tonight. I know that you're using the King James Version or the New King James Version, because in the New King James, the King James Version, it says those words, blessed are those who keep these commandments. How many of you tonight have in verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Now, there is a huge difference. I'm not here to criticize the King James Version. I just want to let you know. There's a huge difference between blessed are those who keep these commandments and blessed are those who wash their robes. And I want to tell you, in 1611, Erastus was tasked with writing, putting together a version of the Bible that we know of today as the King James Version of the Bible. At that time, Erastus used two Greek manuscripts. They were called Textus Receptus. Nothing wrong with Textus Receptus at all, but he used those manuscripts to put together the New Testament of the King James Version of the Bible that we have today. And one of the things that he used here was this: blessed are those who keep his commandments. In that, since 1611, we've gotten a few more Greek manuscripts to look at really what that is saying and what the New Testament is saying. We've got a few more. Actually, since 1611, archaeologists have uncovered and discovered, are you ready for this, 30,000 manuscripts of the New Testament since 1611. And based upon what they have found, most manuscripts say, blessed are those whose robes are white. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Why? Because there's a huge difference between keeping God's word and having our robes washed clean. There's a huge difference between that. That is why this verse continues on and says, so that they may have the right to the tree of life. They may have the right to the tree of life. We get the right to the tree of life, how? When we are made clean. And the only way we're made clean is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why we see the second blessing here that Jesus gives. I'll move on here. The next thing we see, where were we? We're number five. Number five is the last invitation. The last invitation, the favorite word that God loves to use all through his word is the word come. Actually, if we see in Noah with the flood, when Noah got the ark done, and it's very interesting, when Noah got the ark done and the rain started to come down, God said to Noah, not go into the ark, but he said, come into the ark. Three times here we see this same invitation. In verse 17, here it is, both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires the water of life freely come. The last invitation that we see is in the book of Revelation in chapter 22. The number six, the last warning. In verse 18, it says, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life and the holy city, which are written about in this book. Again, the only place where we see God with a warning, the last warning, if we add to or take away from the book, that is the warning that he gives us. Now, there are several ways that we can do this. We add to God's word when we say things like, God will never give you more than you can bear. Godliness is next to cleanliness. We add to God's word. As a matter of fact, it's funny. This past week at Park Regency, I was doing Sunday school class at Park Regency, and as I'm teaching there, one of the ladies actually said, she looked at me and said, well, you just got to remember that God will never give you more than you can bear. One of the ladies that is in the class that comes to the church on Sunday morning looked at me and she smiled real big. And she said, we've talked about that, haven't we? I said, we sure have. So we just kind of let it go there. But certainly, anytime we add to or take away from God's word, there's a warning here. We shouldn't do that. And man, I love them. I love them to death. Boy, they are some of the nicest, kindest people that you're ever going to find. But the Mormons, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, whenever they come to your door and they say, here, we've got this Bible, but we also have the Book of Mormon, another testament that Jesus gave us to use. Every time they are doing that, they are on the wrong track. They are, because God said, don't do that. That's the last warning that we see here. And then we have the last promise that we have in the Bible. And the last promise is this. Verse 7 says, look, I'm coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the book, the prophecy of this book. Verse 12 says, look, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay each person according to his work. And verse 20 is, he who testifies about these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. So three times we have the last promise. I got a question to ask you again, just if anybody knows off the top of their head. Do you remember what the first promise in the Bible was? The first promise that God made in the Bible was in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. God is talking to Adam and Eve about the garden. He's talking to them about the tree of life. And remember what he says? He says, if you eat of this, I promise you, you will surely die. You will surely die. And sure enough, when we ate that, we began to die. As sin entered the world, God kept his promise. God keeps all of his promises. That's when we see this promise in the book of Revelation, three times, I am coming, I am coming, I am coming. We can rest assured that God will fulfill that promise too that he's made. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.